All right, welcome to the free stretch here on JoeBucksFan.com. I am Bobby Fenton coming to you on, as we speak, as I record, a Thursday night. The Hall of Fame game is on my television. I'm sitting on the front porch during a classic Florida thunderstorm. You may even be able to hear the thunder rolling in the background and the drive of the raindrops hitting my porch roof. And I don't usually record out here, but with the storm like this, it's just a beautiful night to be on the porch. We're bug-free, so here I am. But I can look through my window into my living room and see the game on. And as of right now, the Ravens lead 17-7. I don't even care about that. The point of it is, it's here. And football is happening on my television. Now, they usually do the Thursday night, or excuse me, they usually do the Sunday night Hall of Fame game in years past. I don't remember them ever doing it on Thursday night like this. But in any event, we've got this tonight, then no games this weekend. And as of Thursday, you're probably listening to this on Friday or later, but as of Thursday, we are 7 days out from real live Buccaneer football. And I know it's preseason. I know everybody loves to poo-poo the preseason. And I've never really understood that because, to me, listen, the preseason's boring. I mean, I'll be bored by the second half of next Thursday's game with the Dolphins, just like everybody else. But I'm a personal subscriber that the NFL should play 16 games just like it does. I think 18's too many. I think 14's too few. I think 16 is just right. So with that in mind, what's the next logical step? Well, there's still too many preseason games. They're boring and 4 is redundant, which I agree with. But when you think of the alternative, which is what? 16 regular season games and 2 or 3 preseason games? Yeah, that makes more sense, but there was a big one, you hear that? In reality, it's just less football. And so I'd rather have a preseason game than nothing at all. I'd rather have it than not. And I can't wait for the regular season like the rest of you, but you know, we could start the preseason in mid-August instead of early August, and then what? Then it'd just be 2 more weeks to wait. So I'm fine with it. And I've enjoyed the hell out of this Ravens-Bears game tonight. And yes, I did make a small, as the late Chris Thomas used to say, a little deal with my short-term investment broker on this game. All right, I'm going to go inside now. You might have heard that. I don't feel safe on my own porch. Even though I don't think lightning comes underneath porches, I'm going to go ahead and head in. So let me do that for a moment. Okay. I'm actually kind of anxious to hear how that sounds, because I'll bet that sounds pretty cool. That was the closest I think I have ever been to lightning, except for the time when I was about 7 years old at Rocky Point Golf Course in Tampa, and I saw a guy get hit by lightning, who lived, by the way, in case you're wondering. It's a true story. My dad, my Uncle Mike, and my grandfather would go out golfing. I'd be the fourth. I wouldn't golf, but they'd let me like putt on the greens and stuff. And we did that all the time. And one day we're at Rocky Point. I remember it clear as day, even though it was 30 years ago. The sky above our head was blue. There was a storm in the distance. Didn't seem like that big of a deal yet. And all of a sudden, just hear this really loud crash. And as soon as we heard it, we picked up our golf balls. I mean, they picked up their golf balls and started hauling ass back to the clubhouse. And there was a guy on the ground who had just been hit that we drove right by. And I remember distinctly my dad reaching, like he was driving the car, and he reached over with his other hand and he covered my eyes. But I saw it anyway. And the guy was on his back. They were giving him CPR. His shirt was ripped and there was smoke, actual smoke, like coming off of him. And he lived. He did not die, we found out later, and he actually ended up suing the city of Tampa and Rocky Point, which is a city-run golf course, for not having signs up that said, you know, warning, beware of lightning, or they didn't have enough advance warning on the weather horn or whatever. Well, I don't, you know, it was a long time ago. I don't know if he won or lost the suit or whatever it was, but that guy did live. He did make it. So anyway, until that moment just now, that was my closest brush with lightning. I hope I don't have another one any closer than that. Of course, living here my whole life, I've seen it many times, but that was really, like, that was yards away from where I'm recording. Hey, this podcast, okay, folks, was done under dangerous and severe conditions. Make no mistake. And that's what we do. And that's why the Joes send me out here, because I'm willing to go to those lengths. So anyway, what I was talking about before was the Hall of Fame game going on tonight, and of course, I took a little break there while the thunderstorm rolled by, so since then the game has ended and the Ravens won 17-16. I was talking about how I put a little money down on the game, because basically what it comes down to for me is this. You know, people say, oh, Bobby, you're crazy betting on preseason. I'm not betting to make money on the preseason, but just $10. Now I'm into that game. Like tonight, for example, I would have had no reason to watch that game in the second half, like most preseason games not involving the Bucks, and many involving the Bucks, to be quite honest. But I was glued to that thing like it was the Super Bowl because I was on the Ravens -2.5. And so the way I look at it is even if I lose, I basically paid $10 to care about the football game and to have some entertainment on an otherwise mundane Thursday night. You know, I got kids. I've spent all day with them today because I'm a stay-at-home dad besides doing some part-time stuff. Get them to bed. By the time you get out of bed, it's 8:30, 9 o'clock. There's my day. So what am I looking forward to all day? Hey, Hall of Fame game tonight. It's one of the reasons I love football season so much is because, you know, maybe I need to get a life, but you know, you whatever it is you do, whether you have an office job or whether you're a stay-at-home dad or whether you do this, that, or the other, you know, I like watching the Rays. I like watching the Lightning. Those are all things I look forward to when they happen as well, but it's not like football. Football's a weekly event, and the way they've got things set up now, you know, there's games on Monday. Really, Tuesday and Wednesday are the only days with nothing. Monday, you got Monday Night Football. Tuesday, Wednesday, those days suck. Thursday, you got college football and the NFL. Friday, you have high school football, which I enjoy, and I have coached before, but even when I don't coach, I like to attend high school football games. Of course, Saturday and Sunday, college and NFL, and then you start it all over again. So really, like that's why football season's so fun for me, is because you can plan your night around these things. Well, I want to do that for preseason too. So that's why I put $10 on the game. And of course, it's only appropriate that we start the season off with yet another gambling kick in the dick, as instead of just taking the money line like I should have, I took the Ravens -2.5, and they win 17-16. And take a knee on the 10-yard line of the Bears with a minute 30 left to run out the clock. So that's where I'm at right now. But I don't care about that because I am happy it's here. I'm happy we're talking football. One of the things I did notice tonight and that I wanted to talk about on the show today was the fan experience that we're about to come up on here in the 2018 football season from multiple things. So first of all, the actual in-game product. And the biggest thing I was curious about tonight, you know, this was the first game under the new rules about automatic 15-yard penalties for any type of helmet contact, lowering your head, hitting people with your helmet, on and on and on. You've had a lot of people talking about how, I'm a middle-of-the-line guy. I try not to get too high. I try not to get too low. I try not to say everything's terrible, but I also try not to say everything's great. I try to stay, you know, in the middle, like I said. So you got a lot of people when this rule came out screaming, oh my God, just wait, it's going to be the worst NFL season ever. Games are going to get just, they're going to be so sloppy, the penalties, it's going to be so inconsistent. It's going to be almost unwatchable. And listen, it's a valid concern about how this rule will be enforced since it is so broad, since it can be interpreted so many ways, since there is so much gray area. And so I was curious tonight, being the first game, how a game would look watching it. And it didn't, I mean, it came up a couple times. I mean, there was definitely some calls made tonight in that game. If you watched it, you may have noticed that were 15-yard penalties that would not have been called in years past, even with all the emphasis they've already had on safety. And a 15-yard penalty is a big deal, folks. I mean, this is my biggest thing, and I've always said this. I think the unnecessary roughness, the unsportsmanlike, all that stuff should all be 10 yards. I think 15 yards is too big of a penalty. 10 yards is big enough. It's still a deterrent. Anybody who's played football before, played any sport, knows it's not like guys are going to be like, oh, it's only 10 yards, I'll do whatever I want. You don't want to get a flag thrown on you. You don't want to get yelled at by your coach. Same thing with pass interference, how I've always saying it should be a 15-yard or a 10-yard penalty and not a spot foul. It's not like guys would start committing it just because it's less of a penalty. It's still a penalty. People don't want penalties. But I digress. Referring to this rule tonight, there was a few hits, and I didn't have a problem with any of the calls, by the way, but there was a few hits that ended up being a big deal this year that were flagged that wouldn't have been in past years. And I'm for the rule, by the way. I know it's confusing, and we have to wait and see. I might change my tune once the regular season starts. I might start bitching and moaning like everybody else, but the head needs to be taken out of the game of football. I've talked about this on podcasts in months past, and these guys have to learn, and the only way to learn is to have it be a rule for several years, and kids coming up also having the same rule from high school through college all the way, so that it's just second nature after a few years. But your head is only there because your eyes are on it. That's like the thing I always say when it comes to tackling, and that, you know, when I've coached kids before, not that I'm an expert or anything, but you know, your head is there because that's where your eyes are. That's the only thing your head's for in football. It helps move your eyes around. Everything else is not there for tackling. It's not there for lowering your head. It's not there for jarring the ball loose. It's not there for anything. And you only wear that helmet to protect it. You don't wear that helmet so you can use it. So, again, even though it's going to come up in the regular season, it's going to be a big deal. See, tonight it's not a big deal. Because even if they call a penalty and it shouldn't have been a penalty, who cares, right? I mean, it's the preseason. If a drive gets preserved that should have been a three and out because they call somebody for using their helmet, if a game turns on that, if a team scores a touchdown when they should have been punting or whatever, you just blow it off in the preseason. So even tonight wasn't an accurate representation of what we'll see. But when it gets to the regular season and it starts to make an actual difference in games that count in the standings, and again, a team on a 3rd and 26, you know, they complete the pass for 10 yards or something, they're about to punt, but oh, wait, there's a flag. Yep, he used his helmet. Automatic first down. Then it's going to be, you know, everybody's going to be pissed off. And I understand that. And I'm the same way. Especially, again, because I won't even have a problem with it. It's just the consistency, because you know there's going to be times when somebody does make a helmet hit and they don't call it, and there'll be other times when they do. And you're asking a lot of referees. I mean, every single one of those penalties tonight, they showed the slow-mo replay, and I'm watching it, and I go, oh, yeah, that's a good call. But in real time, I may never have noticed. Or sometimes they call one, and they show the slow-mo, and you're like, no, that was his shoulder he hit him with. This is highway robbery. I'm pissed off. This game has been altered, and teams are getting touchdowns given out to them they shouldn't have had because drive should have been stalled already, and on and on, on and on and on. You know, that will happen. That will happen. I know it will. But with that said, I'm still okay with it, just because, and if you've heard me talk before, I mean, I really don't think getting rid of helmets is as radical an idea as other people do. I mean, I really think that, and it's not that rugby is perfect and rugby doesn't have injuries, because it does, but I really think if you went to a soft helmet and like soft, almost like hockey style shoulder pads that are more form fitting and not don't have the hard plastic, just have the foam rubber, things like that, I think football would be safer. I really do. And down the line, I could still see that happening, although it will not be. It won't swing all the way there quickly. It'll be a very incremental thing, but this might be one of the increments. And if you love football as much as I do, even though you might be one of those people who says, oh, just put skirts on them. You got to be kidding me. It's flag football. Even if you're one of those people, think long and hard, because if you really love football, you want to see it preserved through the years and through the generations and through when you're an old man, you know, it might take rules like this. Or maybe not. Maybe it'll be a complete disaster, honestly. I don't know yet. But tonight, it wasn't that big of a deal. And I remember, I think off the top of my head, 3 or 4 plays where it was called. Now, that's a lot. I mean, especially, again, given situations. It could be in a situation that's a crucial situation. There are no crucial situations in preseason games. But you know, we'll just have to wait and see. And it hasn't happened to my team yet in a game I'm watching, so, you know, those things will be different. But in the meantime, that was one of the things I was looking for. You know, another thing, and they didn't talk about anything tonight, and people have said, oh my God, it's going to be even worse with the anthem this year and all that. Those are all things we'll get to if and when the time comes. I'm not going to get into that tonight. But as far as the fan experience goes, just the actual X's and O's, football tonight didn't look much worse or much better than it ever does in the opening Hall of Fame game. Now, some news came out today as far as the fan experience at Raymond James Stadium that I'm curious about and I was very happy to hear about, and that involves smoking. And this is just a minor thing because it's been a while since smoking has been a prevalent thing. You obviously can't smoke in the stadium anyway, out in the middle of the stadium, but they do have designated smoking areas and things like that. Well, the news today, new policy effective immediately at Raymond James Stadium, and I really truly hope this barely affects any of you, because I'd like to think in 2018, smoking is on the way out, and I'd like to think in my lifetime there won't even be such a thing as smoking by the time I'm 60 years old, let's say. But as for now, new policy by the Tampa Sports Authority, all tobacco-related products and zones in Raymond James Stadium are being eliminated. This is CEO Eric Hart, quote, "Our commitment has always been to provide the most enjoyable fan experience, and we feel that making Raymond James Stadium a smoke and tobacco-free venue is a necessary part of that commitment. The need for this healthier environment was evident from fan feedback, national trends, and feedback from our friends and tenants such as the Buccaneers and USF." Couldn't agree with it more. I am just, again, I haven't been affected by smoking at Raymond James Stadium personally in some time, but again, I don't see a need to even have it being done anywhere on stadium grounds or anywhere in public, really, and so I'm glad to see that. I do remember one instance. I've had a couple brushes with smokers and dippers in my day, and I remember one incident at a Bucks game. This was probably at least 5 years ago at this point, but a guy was smoking in front of me. And I always go, if you know me, you know, I almost never sit in a seat when I go to a Bucks game. I go to the rails they have in both end zones, the north end zone and the south end zone. There's a rail behind the last row of seats, and you can stand right on the rail there. And it's usually two or three deep for Bucks games, but if you get, you know, jockey for position a little bit, you can get in there. And I love to watch. First of all, I love the end zone view of the game. And second of all, I like standing during the game, and I just like the idea of common area. Even when I had season tickets for, you know, 10 years straight, I never actually used my season ticket seats, never even went up to the 300 level where they were. I'd get in the stadium, walk straight to the rail, and that's where I watched every game. I still do that to this day. So one time a guy in front of me started smoking, and I'm that guy. You know, I'm not going to sit there and watch somebody smoke. I know the rules. And when the rules are in my favor, I'm going to point them out. When they're not in my favor, I'm probably going to be quiet. But in this case, if I don't want somebody to smoke and it's a no-smoking venue, I'm going to say, hey, listen, dude, no smoking. So I got into it with this guy one time, and I wasn't rude or anything. I said, hey, man, listen, could you not do that? And he was right in front of me. I was getting smoke on my clothes, you know, all that whole thing. And he kind of, you know, he wasn't out and out mean about it. He kind of, you know, gave me a look like, who the F are you? You know, screw you. But he didn't say that. I mean, he was cool about it. But what he didn't do was stop. So he wasn't that cool about it. So I asked him again. He kind of kept going. So I pulled the old fake phone call routine, which I've used. I mean, listen, folks, if you're not using the fake phone call routine, you can use it for so many things. Whether you're walking through a group of people and you don't want to be bothered and you just, you know, pretend you're on the phone, or whether you want somebody to think you're calling someone that's a threat to them, which is in this case what I was doing. So I got my cell phone out and I just put it to my ear and I start going, I'd like to report it, you know, and the guy immediately put the cigarette out. Now, there was nobody on the other end of the phone, obviously. I wouldn't even know who to call, like in the stadium. Like, I don't know the number to call in a stadium where I know you can text somebody. It says up on the walls there, text this number for some sort of fan behavior. But I would have no idea, like, who to actually call to instantly get someone there. But people don't know that. So I got my phone out. I go, sir, please stop. And, I mean, he put the cigarette out or he walked away. I can't remember what it was. But the whole threat was completely diffused immediately. I was proud of myself. And I'm not, like, a fighter or anything, but I'm not intimidated by anybody. I wasn't, like, being a wuss. I'm not going to get into a fight with someone and then get police involved and potentially get myself in trouble. But you're goddamn right I got him to stop smoking. I don't want somebody blowing smoke in my face. And then another time at a Rays game. This is an indoor stadium. And I have friends who dip, or used to dip. They don't dip anymore. But I had a guy sitting a few seats down from me, but in the same aisle I was in, so I had to walk back and forth in front of this guy who was dipping. And whatever, people can dip all they want because it doesn't affect me, I don't care, unlike smoking. He didn't even have a dip cup. He was literally just spitting on the concrete. This is at the Trop. Again, it's not even outdoors where it's going to rain later and clean it up. He's just spitting on the floor. And I looked at him like, really? Like, he was a few seats down. He was no physical threat or anything like that. Not that I'm the biggest guy in the world, but, you know, I'm 6 foot, 200 pounds. I lift weights. I'm not afraid of people. Even people who can kick my ass, I'm not afraid of. But the point is, I looked at this guy and I was like, seriously? And he just looked at me. He didn't care. So I actually got up and found a policeman. I didn't even do the fake phone trick because the damage was already done. There was dip on the ground, dip spit. And I brought a policeman over. I said, dude, check this out. And the cop's like, what? Seriously? He can't do it. And he got the whole thing fixed. But somebody still had to come clean that up and everything. So the point is, it's 2018. Where everything we know about tobacco right now, it shouldn't be a big deal. Apparently, reading this, most fans agree because the feedback says they wanted this. If you're a smoker, my only advice, and listen, I know how hard it is. My dad smokes, and he's tried to quit, and, you know, I'm not insensitive to how hard it is to quit something you're addicted to. But if you're a smoker, I hope you can at least, instead of saying, oh, well, I'm not going to Bucks games anymore, say, hey, this is just another way I can, you know, I'm going to go 3 hours without smoking. I'm going to go to this game. I'm not going to smoke. I'm not going to do anything like that. But that was some good news, I thought, on the fan experience front. As far as camp today, and speaking of fan experience at camp, this Saturday, tomorrow, if you're listening to this on Friday, is our camp takeover day on Joe Bucks Fan. The stick carriers will be out in force. It was a big deal last year, and folks, that was last year. That was kind of a first-time thing they threw together, but the commish and the Joes have been working on this one for a while now, and I got a feeling this one's going to be big. Like, Saturday is going to be a wild day at training camp, Saturday morning. If you want to go be a part of this, I know people have been saying, oh, well, they're already sold out of tickets. Now, you don't have to pay for the tickets, but you do have to get a ticket to go, and they've already given them all out as far as if you go through the Bucks. It's on the website. If you're on Joe Bucks Fan, you already know this, but you can still go. A lot of the stick carriers have gotten just blocks of these tickets, okay? So it's not like, even though they're gone, it's not like you can't get them. And they're going to be out there handing them out Saturday morning. There's going to be tailgating before this thing, the whole thing. They're going to get you in if you want to go, from everything I understand. So you know, you can tweet at the commish, at commish online. Check him out or the Joe and ask them if you want to get it clarified, but that's my understanding. We want to get as many people out there as possible. It's going to be a fun day. Camp today was in the bubble. Are we calling it the bubble? It's not, I mean, it's not inflatable. It's got a structured roof, but it was in the indoor facility. It was just shorts and helmets and stuff like that. Defense had a really good day. Not a lot has come out of camp so far, which is fine. I mean, that's you really just don't want any news out of camp. People read too much into this stuff as it is. I did, as far as camp goes, have a couple thoughts, and I was on Twitter earlier, as I'm wont to do, and I saw a tweet, and it was quoting a player, and let me bring it up right now. Someone heard it stated this way before he said it. You know, camp's different now than it's ever been. I mean, and the Joes do it too, but you go to every beat writer, the Joes, fans that are there, anybody, and literally every single rep these guys take, somebody tweets something about it, like, oh, Jameis Winston just threw high and incomplete to so-and-so, and you know, or, oh, so-and-so just got beat over the edge by, you know, every single play. And a lot of this stuff isn't newsworthy at all, but since we have Twitter and these beat reporters, it's their job to report, and the Joes, again, they do it too, we all do it. I do it too when I go to camp, you know. Sometimes we get too wrapped up in this stuff, but this was Kevin King. And he said, quote, there's time to work on your craft. You're with your team. You're out there. I might try to do a brand new thing against Devontae. He's one of the top three, top five receivers in the league. It may not work, but on film, it's like, damn, Kevin King can't guard Devontae Adams. But you don't know what I was doing. You see these clips, they don't tell the tale of anything. It's all about getting better. It's like, what if your notes were published to Twitter every day? It's not my final draft yet. I'm not finished here. Just wait for the finished product. And I'm glad that's a really good quote, and that's a really insightful thing that Kevin King said, because it's true. And I notice this every day when I go on Twitter during Bucks practice if I'm not there. And it's like, oh, so, you know, again, Jameis Winston threw incomplete. Oh, Ryan Fitzpatrick went over the middle and it was dropped by so-and-so. You know, again, they're doing things, I'm not saying they're not trying, but they're doing things differently than they'll do them in games. They might specifically be doing things they're not necessarily going to do in games because they think they're too risky, but they want to see what happens. There's any number of reasons. So you know, that's why I hesitate on any of my podcasts to get too into the X's and O's and the nuts and bolts of what's going on every single day. As far as things go today, the defense had a good day, and the defensive backs especially. I mean, you're talking about, you know, someone like MJ Stewart, who's been really good. You know, it's all positive signs, but again, we go through this every year. None of this matters. And like I say over and over and over, you won't remember any of this. Like, you really can. Do you remember a single thing about any camp ever, really? I mean, I've covered Bucks camps when I was in radio year after year after year, and I barely remember even being there. Like, they're very forgettable, as they should be. And there's fun, cool stuff you get to see and watch, and it's enjoyable, but don't read too much into it. Yeah, if you want to read into things as far as the kicking game goes today, and this is in the indoor practice facility where conditions are as benign as they could possibly be, but we're hoping that the kicking situation for the Bucks has stabilized. Chandler Catanzaro is going to be the guy. I mean, he's got a big contract. There's no controversy. There's no competition. He hit a 53-yard or 54-yarder actually today in the bubble, and a few other ones too. And again, Aguayo did that as well. It didn't mean anything. But Catanzaro's he's got a pretty good resume, and he's a guy the Bucks just said, you know what, we're not screwing around with this anymore. They gave him $3 million plus a year. So that was another thing from today. Things like that, it looks like they're working out as far as that goes. Oh, there was one other thing I forgot to mention about camp that Dirk Cutter said today, and if you've been watching practice as extensively as some in the media have, you may know this. I know most people can't do that, though. Jameis Winston has been getting the most reps. Now, there's first-team reps, there's second-team reps, there's third-team reps. But total reps, as he should be, because in my mind, he's still the starting quarterback, even though he's not for the first three games. Jameis Winston has been getting the most reps. Obviously, Ryan Fitzpatrick is being treated as the starter right now. But as I've said over and over, and as a, you know, has become, to my opinion, very obvious, for all the talk about Jameis and all the negativity and all the well-deserved negativity, by the way, I'm not defending him, but for all the people that have asked me, oh, Bobby, do you think he's going to be the guy? Like, do you think he'll take a snap in week four? What if Ryan Fitzpatrick does this? Or what if they're 2-1? You know, if they were to go 3-0 and Fitzpatrick was just incredibly lights out, then maybe Fitzpatrick, even then I think it could be Jameis Winston, which I don't think that's likely anyway. But even if that did happen, I mean, Jameis Winston, he's going to serve a suspension now. He's going to lay low. They got the whole thing out of the way the first day, or first couple days, I guess, with him talking to the media. I'm telling you, this thing will be a distant memory. It only seemed like a big deal. And no, his behavior is a big deal, but the story only seemed like a big deal because that was the story at the time. But it's just like Tom Brady's four-game suspension, even though that was under much different circumstances. You know, you serve it out, you wait, you hope your team does well enough, and of course the Patriots were able to. I'm not sure the Bucs will fare so well. And then your guy comes back, and then it's just business as usual. That really is what's going to happen. And the 13 games that Jameis starts, if he starts that many, those are going to determine everything. I've said that over and over and over. I'll keep beating that drum. And, you know, he needs reps. He's entering his fourth year, and that's great. He's a veteran in some sense of the word, but he's not a veteran, and he's still very young, and he needs all the reps he can get. He needs to be basically practice like a rookie all the time, and that's what he's been doing. So my only hope, and I said this last week, with Fitzpatrick, and I think the Bucks, listen, Jameis Winston is the number one guy for a reason. Obviously, you wish he could play all the games, but I don't think the Bucks' chances of winning one or two of the first three games are terrible just because Ryan Fitzpatrick is starting. And just because the schedule looks daunting doesn't mean anything. You don't know what the 2018 versions of the Eagles or the Saints or the Steelers are going to be. Yes, they were good teams last year. Yes, there's a good chance they'll be decent teams this year, but you have no idea. Like, none of us do. The Bucks in 2003 were not the Bucks from 2002. For whatever reason. And so we'll just wait and see how that whole thing develops. But Jameis Winston has been getting the most reps of anybody. And to me, that makes perfect sense. If you want to email me, I want to hear from you guys. BobbyGameDay@yahoo.com. I got great response last week. And the offer is still on the table, as it will be all the way up until the regular season starts. And beyond, really. I don't care. It doesn't cost me anything. If you want my patented fridge schedule that I'm, again, I told you last week, for those of you that missed it, I type up, I don't just cut the schedule out of the newspaper and stick it on my fridge. I type up a little schedule that I make on an 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper. I get all the team logos of all the teams we play. It's got nice, pretty colors in it. I put the Bucks logo on there. I do it nice. Tradition of mine, I do it for the Bucks and the Gators, been doing it every year since I was in college. And that's like the traditional, like, beginning of football season when I put my two fridge schedules up on the side of the fridge. And I thought this year, I should have done it last year too, I thought, hey, why not let the fans have them too if they want them to? So I can email you a Word file, which is all it is, and you can print it out yourself on a color printer or a black and white if you don't care about the color. Anybody who wants one can have one. Just email me at bobbygameday@yahoo.com. I got a bunch of emails last week. I was actually thinking maybe a couple people might email me, and it ended up being several people who want the schedules, and I think that's great. I'll send it to anybody who wants it. Again, just email me, bobbygameday@yahoo.com, or get me on Twitter, @bobbygameday. As far as drama for this season, and I'll touch on this throughout the season, because it's never good enough just to have the season, I had to add a little more drama. So here's what happened this week. My lovely wife, you know, we have two kids, her and I, and it's tough to get out and do things when you have kids, so we really work hard to try and still take trips and do things and all that whole thing. So my wife came to me, we've been talking about going on a short cruise with the kids, no big deal or anything, and it's not relevant to much, but the reason I'm saying this is because one of the cruises we want to go on, you know, the dates, it's not like a air travel where you can just book it any day you want to. The cruises leave on certain days, certain weeks. It's not necessarily all the time, especially here in Tampa. So she comes to me, says, hey, Bobby, or she doesn't call me Bobby, she calls me Robert, but she's like, I think I got a great date for us to go on a cruise with the kids first weekend of the new year, first weekend in January. And of course, with anything, whether it's weddings, whether it's birthday parties, whether it's trips, no matter what it is, whether it's conceiving a child, first thing my mind goes to is, okay, how does this work with the schedule for football? What am I going to miss? I can't be out of town during anything. So first weekend in January is wild card weekend. And so I immediately get on my phone and I start looking up, like, I've never been on a cruise. I know a lot of you guys may have been on cruises, and maybe you can help me by emailing me. I would actually like that if you could email me or tweet at me and let me know. Again, it's bobbygameday@yahoo.com, and on Twitter it's @bobbygameday. I didn't know, could you watch, like, NFL games when you're on a cruise, like, at sea in the middle of the ocean? Do they have satellites? Like, how does that work? Because I told her, I was like, I don't mind going on a cruise during wildcard weekend as long as I can watch the games, like, on a TV on the boat. That's fine. But if I get out there and I'm just, like, isolated and I have no idea what the hell's going on, I said, that absolutely will not fly. Like, I can't do that. So I start Googling things, and it appears as if the technology here in 2018 that you should be able to watch all the games, right? I mean, and you all can confirm or deny this to me in the emails if you get a hold of me, but it seems like, and we're going on Carnival, you know, they have a sports bar or something on the boat. You know, again, this is wild card weekend. It's one of my favorite weekends of the year. Two of them are wild card weekend and divisional playoff weekend. So I can't be out of town for that if I'm going to miss the games, but it sounds like I can watch them. So I said, okay, you know, the only issue could be, because if the Bucks are in a road playoff game, I'm watching it on TV no matter what. I'd still prefer not to be on a cruise because I want to get together with my buddies and I want to do a whole big thing and make a party out of that. But, you know, I could tell by, and my wife's a sports fan too. She's not one of those wives that just doesn't care and I have to explain. She knows the drill and she likes football too. But I said, okay, you know, I can do that. But there's one scenario where I absolutely cannot be out of town during that time, and that is if the Buccaneers in 2018 win the NFC South Division and therefore are hosting a playoff game on Wild Card Weekend, there is no way my ass will be anywhere on earth except for right smack dab in the middle of that stadium if the Bucks are playing a Wild Card game. And I told her that. I said, you know, I can't, especially, I mean, I've never missed a Bucks playoff game, but the Bucks haven't made the playoffs at all in going on 11 years. They haven't won a playoff game since the Super Bowl, as we all know, going on 16 years. For God's sake, I still can't believe I'm saying that out loud. And so if they win the South, again, the odds are not in their favor, I know, but if they were to win the South this year and they're hosting a playoff game, I told her, I was like, I'm not going, we'll have to move the cruise. And she's like, well, you can't move cruises like flights. You know, you can't. And I was like, well, I don't know what to do. And she's like, I'm just going to book it and then we'll figure it out. Which, you know, those are famous last words, we'll figure it out, because you actually have no plan for figuring it out. So, okay, she booked it. So it's booked. You know, for first weekend in January, wild card weekend. And so I'm going to be watching the Bucks games all year and monitoring the standings, as I do anyway. And if they're in line to win the division in any way, if there's any chance of it happening, she can either get her mom-in-law to go with her and they can go on a cruise together, or hell, it might even be some other guy. But again, Bucks win the NFC South, host a playoff game. There's no way, all right? A herd of Clydesdales couldn't drag me anywhere but right in the middle of Raymond James Stadium, period, no questions asked. And you better believe it'll come down to something. I've already sealed it, Bucks fans, if you're listening. Something, whether they do it or don't do it, it's going to come down to some crazy-ass scenario in the final couple weeks. And it'll be, whenever I gamble on anything, whenever I have anything riding on anything, it's never easy. It's always just blood-pissing, grueling, just it swings back and forth 20 times before a final resolution. That's just how it goes with me. So I can already guarantee you that right now. But anyway, that's some more drama for you. And we'll talk more about that as the season progresses. So again, training camp takeover on Saturday. Check it out. Again, if you can't get a training camp ticket, don't worry. Just get out there Saturday morning before practice and the stick carriers will take care of you. It's supposed to be a brotherhood and a sisterhood, and that is what they are doing. They have the tickets. Even if the Bucks don't, they do. Check with at Commish Online, check with the Joes at Joe Bucks Fan, and they'll set you up. If you want a fridge schedule, again, one more time, email me, BobbyGameDay@yahoo.com. On Twitter, I'm at BobbyGameDay. I want to thank the Joes for, as always, allowing me to put this podcast on this website, the best place in the world for Bucks coverage all year long, much less this time of year. And to have the chance to get in front of all of you is a huge honor, and I always thank the Joes for that. I want to thank you for listening. I'll be back next week. Hey, next week, okay? Thursday night's the game. So this is my last show before the game, because I'm not going to do my show on Thursday before the game. I'm just going to wait till after the game Thursday night. So next show will be a big game review of game one of the preseason. Things we saw, things we looked for that we didn't see, all that stuff, that'll be coming up next week. But until then, let's have a good week. We're there now, folks. There's people in uniforms with painted lines on the field playing real live football. And the air is fresher, and the flowers smell better than they've ever smelled, baby. Have a great week. Have a great weekend. I'll talk to you next week. And until then, wherever you are, good afternoon, good evening, good night, and go Bucks.